looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
To come here and that's not a comfortable clause over there. I know that for a fact, so that's an advantage. Although the guys do an outstanding job, but it's always good to have that last at bat if you're down. I love it. I love it here. The atmosphere should be loud and fun, and we'll take advantage of it.
All right, that's Alex Cora, Red Sox manager over at Fenway Park today, talking about the quote-unquote home field advantage that the Red Sox may have this postseason, that they should have. This postseason starting on Friday against the winner of the game between Oakland and New York. Tomorrow night at Yankee Stadium, that's at AL playing game. And again, finally, after 162 regular season games, after 6 months, really 7.5 if you count spring training. After all of that, finally some baseball games that really mean something. It starts tonight in the major leagues with Colorado at Chicago in the National playing game. And we're going to catch up on a lot here in the Baseball Reporters tonight. 617-779-0985 is your number. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has already opened the phone lines. So we'll take your calls on anything and everything. But just quickly on the whole Fenway Park thing, and the advantage that it is playing at Fenway Park. We had a caller today raise this and just, you know, stuck in my head. That the idea that Fenway could be a negative for the Red Sox this year if they get off to a bad start in the postseason. Chris Sale, we don't know about. The shoulder's still a concern for a lot of us. What's he going to look like in game one? What if he doesn't have it? Is Fenway Park going to collectively gasp and groan? And let alone for game two when David Price goes out there, if he gets in any sort of trouble or falls behind, does the air come out of the ballpark? And it's an interesting question because when you really look at it, boy, the Red Sox here in the postseason, what an enormous edge typically it is for them to play in Boston. Enormous, enormous advantage. So, for example, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, I just looked this up. In 2004... and in 2007, their World Series years, the Red Sox went a combined 11-3 at Fenway Park. 11-3. They absolutely annihilated the Cleveland Indians here in 2007. They won the first game 10-3. They won game 6 12-2. They won game 7 11-2. Then the Rockies came in here and they beat them 13-1. Now, I didn't even look up 2013. But my recollection is they played well here in 2013 as well. Okay, so obviously that was a game David Ortiz hit right into the bullpen. They came back here. They won game six.
They smoked the Cardinals in game six.
I mean, so there you go. I just think that historically, when the Red Sox do well in the postseason, it starts here at Fenway. Okay, it starts here at Fenway Park. And so we'll get our first glimpse of that on Friday night, no small thing. Again, 617-779-0985. Here's where I want to start. Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated today wrote a column, posted online, the 10 people in the postseason who are under the greatest pressure. Okay? The 10 players, managers, and teams under pressure in the 2018 postseason. And he starts at number 10, for example, Ryan Braun of the Brewers, then goes Nick Markakis of the Braves, Brad Hand of the Indians. Number 7 is Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, which honestly I think is too low on the list. Number 6, manager Joe Maddon, Chicago Cubs. Number 5, Roberto Osuna, the reliever with the Astros, who was suspended 75 games this year for violating the domestic violence policy in MLB. No Red Sox on the list until number 4, where Verducci names the whole team. And then at number 1, I think we can all guess who that is in terms of... I'll tell you what, I'll read you what Verducci wrote and you should know the answer. Tom Verducci says 86 pitchers in Major League history have started at least 9 postseason games. Only one of them has never won. Jimmy Stewart, you care to tell us who that is?
David Price.
Okay, so here's my question to you if you're a Red Sox fan tonight. You're driving home and the playoffs are about to start. Which Red Sox, organizationally, which Red Sox players, executives, coaches, or manager, which ones have the most pressure on them this October? Who do you look at as being the linchpins in this team's success come October? I'd be curious as to what a lot of you say. Price is an easy one. Okay, Price is an easy one. The question is, where do you go after that? Okay, so that's one thing I want to throw out there. Also, I do want to get into some of the things that Alex Cora said today to the media. So we'll play some of the sound now. First of all, Cora basically confirmed that Chris Sale is going to pitch on game one. Remember that Cora has been a little resistant to do this, but Jimmy, if we could go through some of these cuts. This is Cora number one, talking about Chris Sale. Overall, sort of the process here with Sale in the postseason leading up to Friday.
He actually threw a flat ground yesterday. He's going to throw a bullpen inside today. The conditions out there, it makes no sense for him to go out there and throw it. We're actually using our cage and the visitor's cage today. He'll go through that, and he'll be in line to pitch on Friday.
Okay, so again, that should be no surprise. But I was wondering yesterday that when Sale threw on flat ground yesterday, I thought that was a little odd. I'm a little worried about Sale. And this is on top of a comment that Dombrowski made in the last couple of days about the bursa area of Sale's left shoulder, which to me speaks to an area of rotator cuff tendonitis. And I always worry about the rotator cuff. You should worry about the rotator cuff long and short term. And if you want to really look down the road, I don't think it's unreasonable to wonder whether this injury has any impact on how the Red Sox negotiate with Sale going forward. Okay, we played you the one about home field. I also want to get to what I think is an interesting comment by Cora regarding the Red Sox bullpen. Now, the cut is on the longer side, but bear with it and listen through it. Cora was asked whether he felt any pressure because of the Red Sox bullpen. And again, I've told you consistently here that one of the things that happened in 2003 was that Grady Little was traumatized by the performance of that bullpen during the regular season. Grady was traumatized. So all of a sudden, the bullpen started pitching well in the American League Championship Series, and Little didn't know what to do, which is why he stuck with Pedro Martinez in Game 7, and it bit him in the ass. Because in that series, Mike Timlin, Alan Embry, and Scott Williamson actually started to pitch well. And Little stayed with Pedro. He was afraid to go to them because even though they were having a good series, he didn't trust them. Okay, he didn't trust them. So I wonder whether there's a similar dynamic at play with Cora with regard to the bullpen and whether or not he trusts his relievers. Here's what Cora said.
I don't feel pressure. I'm actually enjoying it. We'll see Friday when I get here how nervous or anxious I'm going to be. But, I mean, we prepared the whole season for this, and we know where we're going to go. We know the matches that we want, that we like. Our team is different than others. You know, our teams, they're not like the Rays or even the A's. You know, we know what we need from our starters and go from there, just like the Yankees. Tomorrow might be different, it sounds like, you know. But, you know, they relied on the starters, and then, you know, they go to the bullpen. So we feel the same way. And I do feel that we have matchups that we can exploit. You know, we got different guys in the bullpen that they have fastball slider, fastball curveball, fastball changeup. And, you know, there's a lot of digging right now, looking at matchups. We play one team 19 times, so we should know what we want to do against him. But the other team, we're trying to figure out how we're going to match up with, and we go from there. But no, I don't feel pressure.
Okay, so look, I think the Red Sox are going to be prepared. Okay, I think Cora is going to be prepared. I don't have any concerns about that. The question is whether or not the Red Sox can really win those matchups he's talking about in the late innings, and I think that's a concern. Anyway, that's where we're going to begin. Playoffs begin tonight in Major League Baseball, finally. And I don't know about you, but it really is a great time of year for baseball.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, self-serving announcement here real quick. We get the summer book ratings today. And I actually haven't gone through and compared this year the baseball reporters to all the others, but I know we were trying to have our best year ever. And I think that's the way it came in. The baseball reporters led again during this one-hour time window, and it's a very small window overall, 6 to 7 p.m. during the summer. But nonetheless, the entire baseball season, we were number one in the preferred demos. April, May, June, July, August, and September. I don't know how many months in a row that has happened. Obviously, it's only a six-month show, one hour a week. But it's something like 5 years. And that really is, and this is no BS, okay? I do mean this sincerely. It really is a testament to you as a baseball fan and listener that, you still have that demand for it and that appetite for it, even after the Red Sox have won championships, and that you're willing to come here. Believe me when I tell you, it was greatly appreciated. Okay, so 617-779-0985. Again, any and all things Red Sox. To me, Alex Cora talking about those bullpen matchups at the end of the last segment. There's going to be pressure on Cora this postseason, and this is one of the questions I posed to you as a Red Sox fan. Who is going to have the most pressure on them in the Boston organization? That includes ownership, upper management, Cora, his coaches, the players. Tom Verducci said David Price has more pressure on him this postseason than anybody in the game. Okay, than any player in the game, David Price, number one. And Price is an easy one, although believe it or not, I'm not even sure he's number one on the Red Sox when I really think about it. I mean, Price has never won a postseason start.
Well, you can say that about any of the starters. Pick one.
So here's my point. Is it possible that Price has a bad series and the Red Sox win?
Sure.
Then there isn't that much pressure on him. Right? You see what I'm getting at?
Yes, yeah.
So now, I suppose you could say that about any single individual starter. But if Sale is not healthy, I have a hard time believing the Red Sox are going to win. I just wouldn't put that pressure on Sale because he has an injury. Like, that one's a little different. If he were healthy, I'd put it on Sale. Price, it's all on him. But, well, I'll tell you who's number one on my list when we come back. But first, I'll tell you what. Let's take a couple of calls. Ryan's in Melrose. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, I got Kimbrel pretty high on my list.
It's a good one.
Say one of these bums in the eighth inning somehow gets us through, and it's a one- or two-run game in the ninth, and then Kimbrel blows it. I mean, man, he's gonna take a lot of heat for that. So, and if he has a bad series, we're probably not going to win the series.
Okay, and Ryan, here's the other thing with Kimbrel, and look, he's the closer, right? So there's pressure on every closer in the postseason. But in the case of Kimbrel, the Red Sox may lean on him more. So they just, because of the problems they have in middle relief and setup, there may be situations where they go to him in the eighth inning, or they go to him for two. I wouldn't rule that out. And then on top of it, if they do navigate through the bullpen, and they get the ball in Kimbrel's hands, he can't blow it. He can't blow it then. Like, the weakest link, as we know, is in that eighth inning. Okay, that's the weakest link. What if some of those guys pitch well? And then it gets to Kimbrel and he blows it. Kimbrel, he's a good one. Believe me, he's not number one for me, but he's on the list. Fran's in a car. Go ahead, Fran.
Hey, Tony. Sleeves. Yeah, actually, I wasn't thinking Kimbrel, but Price, pretty easy one. Not sure how much he actually cares if he doesn't perform well, but I would say there's a lot of pressure on whichever members of the Wheels Gutless Bums make the postseason roster. After that, I would say it's on Dombrowski, especially if the bullpen doesn't perform.
So, Fran, I'll tell you what. Fran, stop there, because Dombrowski's the one for me. The more I think about it, the more I think it's Dave Dombrowski. So listen, I don't think it's Red Sox ownership. Now, if we find out that they were under the $237 million threshold and that was the reason they couldn't add a reliever, then I think we start looking at Red Sox ownership. But I made more calls on this, and I think they're over. Okay? I think they went over. So if it's about the bullpen, I don't know where you turn other than Dombrowski. So as much as you want to look at the relievers, and you say, well, Matt Barnes has to come through. Sure, yes, there's pressure on Barnes, there's pressure on Hembry, there's pressure on all of them. But if they don't perform, well, that is consistent with what they did during the regular season. To me, that one falls on Dombrowski. If this team fails again, and it fails in the bullpen, it's definitely Dombrowski. If it fails in the rotation, well, then I think you can start to look at some of the starters. Because Dombrowski built a good rotation. And if these guys just can't pitch in October, they can't pitch in October. The one exception for Dombrowski in the bullpen is Kimbrel. Okay, if Kimbrel blows it, that's on Kimbrel. Michael's in Medford. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, yesterday I caught you off guard because you didn't realize Rodriguez pitched one inning on Sunday with
right.
the K's. And you never really answered the question. My question is, after Cora's lashing out on Saturday's interview regarding Rodriguez, why not keep him in the game at least one more inning to get a better feel on him as a reliever?
So, Michael, look, he gave him the inning on Sunday, and he did bounce back. When you say why not keep him in more inning, maybe Cora saw enough there in terms of, you know, positivity, if that's what you want to call it, to say, you know what, I'm going to get him out of there now. He feels good about it. I know he can do it. And so we'll go to him in the, you know, we'll be able to go to him in the postseason. What, in other words, why leave him in for a second inning and risk damaging the good inning he had? On Saturday, he didn't have a good first inning of work. He sent him back out for the second and it got worse. So maybe the logic there was, let me send him back out and see if I can get a good inning out of him. He got it on Sunday and he got him out of there. Now look, do I think Rodriguez can help him in the bullpen? Sure. Yes, of course. Do I think he will? I don't know. Which comes back to what I was saying yesterday. I have no idea what to expect from this pitching staff. None. You can really go through to a man. And I don't know who I would tell you I feel confident in on that staff. Sale, I don't know because of the injury. Price, I don't know because of the history. Porcello, I don't know because of the history. Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be in the pen, and who knows? He's trick-or-treat, especially when he's coming off an injury. Nathan Eovaldi, complete crapshoot. The eighth inning guys, I have no faith, and Kimbrel, it feels like a bit of a wild card sometimes. So it's really hard to look at any pitcher on that staff and feel fully confident in what you're going to get. And the contrast I will give you is, for example, Curt Schilling in 04. When Schilling went to the mound with his big game history and with his health, you knew you were going to get a good game. Schilling wasn't going to be afraid. Now, the ankle thing cropped up and it became different. But overall, you knew what Curt Schilling was going to give you. There has to be somebody that anchors that staff and gives them stability. Ideally, it's Sale. But because of the shoulder, we don't know. Apparently, he did throw a bullpen at Fenway Park today. He threw it indoors because of the weather. So all signs point to Sale being online for Friday. Whether or not he's throwing 96 is a different story. We're just going to have to wait and see on that one.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So look, we all hate four-hour baseball games. You can get them in the postseason. But I will say this. The nice thing about this time of year is that unlike the regular season, every single pitch matters. Every single one. Because you give up a three-run homer in the third inning, and then you're like, oh, here you go. Now you're running uphill the whole night. So you really do start to understand the magnitude of every single pitch, every single at-bat. And just as importantly, there's more emotion in the postseason, right? Like, which we all know baseball needs. We all know baseball needs more emotion. So the fact that it exists in the – I just wish they played with it in the regular season. But it's the ultimate long-haul game, which is why it gets hard on the managers in the playoffs. Because during the regular season, no, you tell a guy ahead of time, JD, you get the day off on Sunday. You know, it's day game, we're off on Monday, we don't play till Tuesday night, so that way you get 3 days off. It's a long year. But the playoffs, no way. No days off. No days off, to coin a phrase or borrow a phrase. And the relievers, all the rules change. One inning usually? Not in the playoffs. And the starters, quicker hooks. There's more pressure on the managers. There's more pressure on every decision. There's more emotion. So MLB today tweeted out a promo video. I hope it translates. again, you can't see the pictures, but the general gist of it is they showed a bunch of highlights with guys showing a lot of emotion. Do you remember the Mookie Betts home run after the 13-pitch at bat this year?
Yeah.
Remember, he was spinning around down the first baseline, like the whole thing? That's included in this. And narrating this is Ken Griffey Jr. Okay? And I think, I didn't read up on the details of it, but some of the things that Griffey says in this promo are, I suspect, criticisms of him when he was a player. Okay, now Griffey to me is the best all-around player of my lifetime. You know, people will compare him to Willie Mays, what have you. But, I don't know, playoffs are coming. They start tonight. Cubs-Rockies, elimination game, winner-take-all game, if you will. And so we just thought we'd play this for you to get you in the mood.
They said rules are rules. Don't stop and stare.
Toss that bat 30 feet into the air.
Don't flip your bat. Respect the jersey. He didn't earn that right. They called him unprofessional. No celebrating. Keep your head down. Flashy. Immature. Showboat. They said it all.
You don't have to do that.
Retirement. Something you do not do in baseball.
No more talk. Let the kids play.
This is a new world.
Come on, Murray. Come on. Little rosin bags or what? You get a little Louisville slugger in your pants or what?
Yeah, I have to still determine who the hell I'm rooting for in these wild card games tonight and tomorrow.
Okay, so I just love the
It's good. It's with the visuals, you really feel it. But I'm still, I don't know, over tonight and tomorrow. I'm all into the sports schadenfreude. I got to figure out what fan base I want to see misery from. I guess I'm not. I'm not going to root for the Cubs tonight. I think that's already determined.
So I am rooting for the Cubs. I'll tell you why I'm rooting for the Cubs, because I want Red Sox Cubs in the World Series. Because I think that that's the best story. No, look, Red Sox, Dodgers, whatever. I want the Red Sox in the World Series. Why wouldn't I? A, it's good for us, but more importantly, it's good for the city. It gives us something to talk about, gives us something to sink into. I mean, let's face it, life is kind of boring sometimes. So you know what? How about Red Sox, Cubs, and Theo comes back to face Dombrowski? Philosophically, could you find two more opposite GMs? Theo versus Dombrowski, not to say the Cubs aren't a big market team, because they are. But to me, oh, I would love to see that.
Well, one might be the most accomplished in league history, and the other one's kind of a fraud and a used car salesman. They are diametrically opposed. Yes, you're correct.
I want the Cubs in it. I want the Cubs in it. I want Red Sox Cubs in the World Series. Or Dave Roberts comes back with the Dodgers. I'll take that one, too. I certainly don't want Colorado or Atlanta. I'll tell you that. But again, Milwaukee, eh. But the Cubs or Dodgers? Milwaukee would be good for Felger. And you know what? If the Red Sox are in it at the end of the day, I'll be okay with that, too. John's in Webster. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Maz, what's going on? How you doing?
Good. What do you got, John?
Hey, I don't know. I just pulled my hair out watching his bullpen.
John, are you speaking into your phone?
I am. They said not to put it on speaker. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. But if you don't sound much better, I'm gonna put you on hold. Go. Okay, well, that's that. See you later. That's just not going to work. Jay's in Shirley. Jay, go.
Hey, what's up? Frank kind of stole my thunder a while ago. First off, congrats on the numbers. It shows a lot about the product. But I was calling in to say that if it's not Sale, it's Dombrowski. That's already been done. So if Sale, I guess the question is, like, do you think there's any kind of chance that the Sale injury is, like, kind of gamesmanship? I feel like Randy Mossing him, if you will. And, like, he's going to be good to go, but they're just kind of keeping it under wraps, and that's why they've been so kind of hush-hush about it and put him behind closed doors. I'll hang up. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Jay, listen, I rule out nothing. Absolutely, it could be gamesmanship. I don't think there's any question that it could be. Now, do I think it is? It doesn't feel that way, but maybe they've sold it. I mean, maybe the Red Sox have been good at acting. Sale's fine. He's going to come out and throw bullets on Friday night, and he's going to go 110 pitches, and he's going to go 8 innings, and that's it. No problems, in which case we'll all look at it and feel a hell of a lot better. But based on the way the Red Sox were talking last weekend, It didn't feel that way. Okay, it did not feel that way. Josh is in Medford. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. Just want to say congrats in terms of your numbers, but I'll get to it as quickly as possible. I'm just really curious about your opinion on this. So I go to at least 20-plus games a season, and for the first time I was asked to leave the other night because when we were playing the Yankees, I was giving Aaron Hicks a hard time out in center field. And I don't say anything too appropriate. I'll chant your name a couple times and say you stink. I wouldn't even say you suck. I told him I could beat him in Mario Kart, and I asked him what his plans were for Friday, whether it be 19 holes or 9. And they guess that you can't just do that at Fenway anymore. You can't.
Okay, so Josh, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, look, I'm all for some good razzing, okay? I think it's part of the game. But after some of the Andrew Jones stuff, I just think that they're going to crack down on it. And so, you know, if you want to turn this into a big issue, to me, part of the experience of being in a playoff game, if you're a visiting player, is you got to feel the heat. But I also think you can do it without necessarily taunting players on the other team. So if you're asking me, am I going to condone you taunting a guy? No, and I don't know what the environment was like around you. And if they thought you were getting too close to some sort of line, well, then I'll tell you what, you lost the benefit of the doubt collectively as a fan base. Okay? The Adam Jones thing tightened up the rules there a little, is my guess. So the Red Sox are going to be diligent about it. Enjoy the game. Have a good time. Root your team on. And if you want to boo the home guys, boo the hell out of them when they deserve it. John's in Mansfield. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Tony. So you talk about the players and the people on the team with more pressure on them. And, you know, the bullpen, the struggles are well-documented. The starters in the playoffs, it's well-documented. But I think, you know, Mookie Betts got to get looked at because, you know, he's underperformed in the playoffs. He's got no homers, no RBIs, hitting under 300. You know, the on-base percentage and slugging, you know, it's not there. And, you know, I know you can say it's only 7 games, it's a small sample size, but that's part of the problem right there. It's only 7 games, you know. They got swept in a couple of years ago and won one game last year, and you got to see more from him in the playoffs, I think.
John, I don't think you're wrong to bring up Mookie Betts. I mean, if a guy's an MVP, he's a batting champion, he's a 30-30 player, he's a probable Gold Glove winner. I mean, if he is what everyone tells me he is, and look, Betts is a hell of a player. Okay, if it were me, I think Martinez is the most valuable guy on that team. The biggest difference in terms of personnel on the Red Sox from last year to this year is J.D. Martinez. So now Alex Cora has made a difference. The coaching staff has made a difference. All of that is true. But J.D. Martinez changed that lineup. Now, that aside, all indications are that Mookie's going to win the MVP. He led the majors in war. So with the way the voters vote now, I don't know why we need them to vote if we're just going to give it to the guy with the highest war. But that aside, Mookie's probably going to win the MVP. If Mookie has a bad postseason, absolutely you have a right to go after him. And so, yes, that puts pressure on him. The MVP of the league has pressure on him in the postseason. Mookie's a good one. So look, when people cite Price, obvious. Even Dombrowski, obvious. Kimbrough was a good one that a caller brought up. If Sale is healthy, there's pressure on him too, and same on Mookie. And I'll give you another one. Bogarts. Bogarts is an important guy in the postseason. He hit behind JD all year. Everyone told us how good a job he did. He protected Martinez. All of that is true. It has to continue in the postseason. All of these guys who played well in the big spots during the year have to play well in October. If they don't, we look at them as chokers. Whether it's fair or not is immaterial. The perception becomes a reality. John's in a car. Go ahead, John.
Tony, what's going on?
What do you got, John?
Tony, you know, it was funny. You mentioned Dombrowski and whether or not they spent $237 million or it was only $200 million. I would think either number's enough to put a team on the field to win, but I guess that doesn't matter in today's baseball. This lineup is the pressure's only on the lineup, Tony. They know what they got on the mound. And unfortunately with Sale, he's hurt. Anybody who thinks it's a game, this guy, all he wants to do is pitch. So for him to sit out willingly for 3 months, he wouldn't take the bait. This is all on the lineup, and it's on the guys that have been a problem all year. The Bradleys, the Kinslers, Leon. One of these guys has to bat better than their weight so that there's not a six-man lineup. And they can pitch around everybody just to get to that lineup and be able to just get out of innings because right now it's like you got three pitchers in the lineup.
So
you need something out of those guys all that have been just minimal all year.
So, look, John, it's been a while since we heard from you, so thanks for calling again. But it's another fair point. Again, I mean, there are some that are obvious, right? Price, Dombrowski, the names we cited. If the bottom of the lineup goes completely cold, you just can't give away. You can't give away outs all the time easily. Can't do it. In the postseason, it's too hard. And you know what? They don't even have to hit a lot. For example, Shane Victorino in 2013, my recollection is his batting average in the postseason was really low.
I think he had four hits all postseason, but two of them were game winners.
But they were big, right? That's right. I was going to say they were all big, but they were big hits. And so, you know what, Jimmy? This is the point. At some point, somewhere in there, some of those guys are going to have to come through.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of it.